VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're going to have a hard time convincing me that Don Henley and generosity exist in the Simpsons.
Well, I have been told that they are not going to play anymore until hell freezes over. So we're good. All right, we're going to go to a sad category.
We already did. We did Eagles for like 7 minutes.
Hey, oh. 50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Let's go. We are back stateside.
That was a long trip overseas.
Long trip overseas, but here we are. We have landed in Los Angeles. Is that sunshine out the window, Jeff Simons?
It is. It's been pouring rain. We've been having an old-fashioned January, which is of course great. But today a little reprieve, and then it's going to start dumping again tomorrow for the rest of the week.
Well, have you heard about Knoxville, Tennessee, Jeff Simons? Little Knoxville.
I heard it's been having some unusual weather, if I'm not mistaken.
Ben, what do you got?
I am less than a week removed from personally being in L.A.
Oh, that's right. We got to talk about that. That's
I did
right.
some actual research for this podcast. Today. We are in the snowpocalypse here in Knoxville, Tennessee. 6 inches of snow and still going. So wow. They canceled everything today. They canceled everything tomorrow. I mean, we're going to be, and it's going to, until it melts, it's going to be tough around these parts.
I was going to say, like, you're not going to work this week, right? The kids are just having, this has got
to
be
I live really close to work, so I actually go, and I'm pretty good at driving in the snow. But yeah, most people will not go for sure.
But does Knoxville's transportation department, like, are they, how many plows do they have going for them?
First of all, thank you for asking the mayor's husband. I'm well acquainted with this.
Yeah.
She had a press availability yesterday, availability today. She went out on a brining truck and brined with the fellas.
Good.
So she's out there hustling hard. And believe me, they're working as hard as they possibly can. That being said, you know, they don't plow.
They don't have
street.
That much. It's not like Maine. Yeah. No.
For sure. Yeah. And nobody has chains or snow tires and people are idiots. So there's and it's a hilly town. You know, when I first got here, I laughed at everybody who was like, stay home, don't drive in the snow. But then when I actually drove in the snow in this hilly town where it wasn't plowed, I was like, oh, it's pretty dangerous.
And you don't have snow tires at all. So
no, I'm now, like when I say I'm good at driving in the snow, I don't mean I'm good at driving in the snow like I was in Michigan where everything was plowed and salted. I mean, I'm good driving in 4 inches of snow that hasn't been plowed. Like, I just drive real slow and turn into the skids, and I'm fine.
Yeah. Well, I turned into the skids when I was 16, and the skid led me right into a telephone pole. So I broke my jaw. It was a super fun snow day. It was a snow day, so we just had to go play snow football, which meant I had to drive to pick everybody up and play snow football. Boy, that didn't work out.
I'm sure your parents were thrilled, Tim. That sounds
thrilled.
Amazing.
So great. You know how much a telephone pole costs? Whew. It was a lot of money, let me tell you.
The city's not insured. You had to pay for the telephone pole?
If you break the telephone pole, you have to pay for it. Isn't that amazing? Oh, but anyways.
Boy, they must have a lot of drunk driving in your hometown for that law to have gotten passed.
That's
got to
be the rule everywhere, Jeff. You want your tax dollars to go to paying for telephone poles for more than 16-year-olds to pile into them?
There is no way in Berkeley that I'm not responsible for the telephone poles when some jackass plows into it. There is no way there's personal responsibility.
If the person has money, they pay for it. Dude, when Dahlia totaled our car on the drive back from the beach, and we had to pay for the concrete barrier she piled into.
Oh man, I'm sure.
I promise you, that's the rule. When the cops come, they know where you are on the damage, and then if you've got the money, you got to pay for it.
This is so great. Dolly's gonna be so thrilled that she came up on the podcast. Hey, I was talking to you, honey. Oh, great. Well, we'll get to her her Red Hot Chili Peppers in just a little bit. But before we get to Los Angeles proper, friend of the podcast, Martha Plain, who you may recall was on it when we had a conversation about songwriters. And she brought Taylor Swift to the party on that particular podcast. Well, the girl's done torn her ACL and her meniscus. So we're going to give her a shout out on the podcast as she prepares for ACL surgery. And I prepare to be a nurse. I'm really ready for it. Cut the song a little earlier. Like, I don't want the shout out song to my daughter included in those lines. You know, like,
I'm getting a little creepy there.
The point is, Martha, my dear, you've got this, and recovery will be difficult, but you are going to persevere like nobody's business.
Can I recommend a different song? Can we just make a joke out of this? Because there's another song it seems like would be more apropos for Martha, my dear.
An ACL?
Well, no, but I mean, you just said Martha, my dear, and there happens to be a song called Martha, my dear.
I know, it's our song.
Aw, so why aren't we playing that? That
one's all right, good. Go ahead.
All right.
Hey, I saw something the other day. The Beatles broke up before any of them were 30. Did we cover that? That's insane.
I know.
Isn't that insane? They did all of that before they hit 30.
Yeah, they were the last generation where teenagers were allowed to be productive. We turned teenager them into like a extended adolescence.
Okay. Sheepers.
Sorry. I had my college sophomore son home for a month, and he's the best, and we had such a great time. And every once in a while I looked at him and was like, "You're like an amazing 11th grader."
Before we get to the arrival song here at Los Angeles X, we gotta talk about winding down. Season 3 of this podcast. Here's what I think we have left. I think we have LA. I think we have San Francisco. I think we have a Portland podcast and a Seattle podcast. I think 4 more road trip podcasts. And then we could talk about a 2023 best of podcast. And then are we hanging up the tights?
Well, I sure hope not. But this is kind of an awkward conversation to have in front of our massive listenership of 70.
Well, I'm hoping right now they're like, no. But if they're just like that, maybe cool ideas
for the season 4 theme to you, Timmy. This might sounds like a kind of a moment to request some ideas for how to make season 4 thematic.
Okay.
Also, I'm a hobby for holding Portland and Seattle together.
Yeah, I would like to do that too.
So you want fewer podcasts?
Yeah, we can just skip Portland. I don't think Portland deserves. I mean, we did Everclear. I've made my Portland pick pretty much.
You made it. Okay. All right. There is an idea on the table for season 4. Like we pretend season 1 never existed, and I bring back all the same trivia, all the same spaceships. We picked the same songs.
Oh, like a 70s sitcom. That'd be great.
That's
like
right.
the one season too many of The Office. Like,
yeah, just run all that shit back. It's going to be funnier this time. All right.
We should add an Australian child.
Well, let's go. We've got I Love LA, Randy Newman.
It's our arrival song.
Indeed.
Smooth intro.
Hey, New York City, it's cold and it's damp, and all the people dressed like monkeys. Let's leave Chicago to the Eskimo. That town's a little bit too rugged for you and me.
Stat on the "we love it," which is my favorite part of the entire song, where they all yell along with him. Makes me so happy.
Wait, hold on.
Yelling?
Who?
The Los Angeles Rams.
So Rams fantastic. Is that true?
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's
great.
That's great. How long is his career, Jeff Simons? When does he start?
1968. Randy Newman is signed to Warner Brothers Records by his childhood friend, Lenny Warrenker, who has talked his way into the president of Warner Brothers Records. So Randy Newman makes his solo record. It is the worst selling record in the history of Warner Brothers Records. and it's released. But Lenny's like, I don't care. Like, you're my best friend. Just keep making records. And then he turned it into a career. So it's 1968 to now. He's still making records. He made a full length record last year called Dark Matter.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's really... lots of records, 16, 17 records, something like that.
So when people ask, like, oh, gosh, the music business, it's so hard. How do I get in? How do I rise above the noise?
And you want to be best friends with the president of Warner Brothers Records.
Best friends with the president. All right.
A little hot tip from me to you here on the podcast to aspiring artists.
So I
love that song.
I was going to ask.
That song is super extra mega apropos for L.A. Here's what I mean by that. So... New York, New York, that song, the Sinatra song, is perfect for New York. And especially the vibe, and then it's kind of a 50s song, and the dancing, and then you can make it there. I also pick a Sinatra song for Chicago. I think Chicago is, parentheses, my kind of town, is the Chicago song. I mean, you could choose, like, for both of them, obviously, Empire State of Mind, you could choose for New York. You could choose an African-American song, too, if you wanted to. But if you're, like, basically for white Chicago, Chicago is my kind of town is perfect.
Okay.
The thing that's great about this song is it's super cheesy. It sounds brand new. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound like a town that's been around since 1910.
Yeah.
It sounds like a town that basically arrived in 1978 and is just there. And it's winking, it makes fun of itself. It's so hilarious. And the dude's yelling along, "We love LA." It's so perfect. And his description of it is not like Chicago or New York, where it's like purely praiseworthy.
Uh-huh. Like, no,
the weather's nice and people look nice and we like the Beach Boys. You know, that's it.
That great. The second verse has that, "Look at these mountains, look at these trees, look at that bum over there. He's got all he needs." It's so hysterical. That's so great.
Ben Barton, it also has a bridge that's all keyboard. What do you think of the bridge?
It's perfect.
It's unapologetically perfect. Awful sound.
I mean,
it's everything. The guitar sound is so funny. By the way, when we get to San Francisco, we'll have to discuss this, but Def, I think that We Built This City is the San Francisco song, and you're stuck with it. Saddled with it.
Tony Bennett is going to rise out of his grave and beat the hell out of you for saying that.
What's the San Francisco song?
I left my heart in San Francisco.
Oh, that song sucks. That song's at least as bad as We Built This City.
Wait, does Knoxville have a song? What do you got?
It does. It's got a fantastic old song called Knoxville Girl, which is about a murder. Too. It's a really good one. But the actual real answer to that is Rocky Top.
Which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, moving right along. Let's see. Closest to the pin. Give me the population of the city, of Los Angeles. Ben Barton, you go first.
Los Angeles, California, second largest city in your United States of America. I've got it at 5.2 million.
I'm going a little bit higher.
It is 3.9 million in the city proper. I think a lot of the sections have kind of like sectioned themselves off to become their own city. But
I would too. For LA city politics, I'd try to be my own metropolis as fast as possible. Yeah.
Metro area, Jeff Simons.
What does that mean? Oh, the larger sprawl?
Yep.
Ooh, LA County or?
Yes, sure.
I mean, 11 million?
Ooh. Ben, how do you do?
I was impressed.
That's good.
Higher or lower? I'm pretty sure New York is like 18 million. I think it's a little less. I'm going to take 11 higher. I'm going to go above 11 million.
It is a little higher. It's at 12.8 million. But Jeff Simons, right on the green, as they say.
On the green, at least, yeah.
Nice 40 job. Cut.
That's fine. I'll take it.
I tell my students that there are a few things they need in their lives. That if they're at a cocktail party, they need a Supreme Court case. They need one just to be able to pull it out and say, oh, yeah, that reminds me of Pinker v. Chance. But you also need a treaty. And do either of you have a favorite treaty that you could pull out at a cocktail party and discuss?
Well, what cocktail parties are you at, Jimmy?
Very sophisticated cocktail parties.
I was going to say.
High level.
Is your pinky sore from holding it out at these cocktail parties?
It's a tie for me, Tim, between the Louisiana Purchase and the Alaska Purchase. I found both of those just gripping.
Those are really compelling.
I'm going to go Appomattox or Versailles. Those are going to be my two.
Okay. It's the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo for me.
Now, that's a good one, too.
I mean, the Treaty of Tordesillas, where Spain and Portugal decide how they're going to divide the new world. That's pretty cool. But it's the end of the war with Mexico, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, which gives the United States California. Yay. I'm glad that whole war with Mexico turned out okay.
It turned out to be a little bit of an error to do.
You know, either of you know who was the president when we did that massive land grab against Mexico? North Carolina's only president, the band They Might Be Giants has a song dedicated to him.
Franklin Pierce?
No, James K. Polk.
I was gonna say James K. Polk. Damn it! I almost interrupted you to say Polk.
Oh well, that's
pissed at myself. Come on, Simons, but believe in yourself.
But let's go back to Los Angeles. How many times have you been to Los Angeles, Jeff Simons? Like too many to count?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, 3 dozen, a lot.
Okay.
I've been to LA a lot. I went as a kid. My dad's from Anaheim.
That's right.
So I visited there a whole bunch of times as a kid.
Oh, your whole life.
You know, I moved out here. Probably my favorite LA trip was with co-host Ben Barton when we were 23 years old, and we just drove down there on the random and had a just fantastic 2-day adventure that included going to the Comedy Store and being heckled by Jimmy Walker of Good Times.
No.
And a couple of other
Kid Dynamite,
second rate comedians. It was great. We had such a good time. We went down.
You saw? Am I right about this? Strip. You saw the Tonight Show too, right?
Yeah, we went and saw the Tonight Show.
So fun.
We did.
That is great.
We had such a good time.
And Ben, you just got back last week. You spoke at USC. How did that go?
Went great. I've had the great good fortune to be in and out of LA. I've spoken at UCLA and Irvine and USC multiple times. So I've been there a bunch for work. Georgia looked at Pomona. So we took like a 3-4 day trip there. So yeah, I've been there, you know, fewer than 15 times, but definitely more than 8 times. And I can tell you, I mean, every time I go, I like it more. Like I just really am taken with LA. I had such a good time going out to USC. Such a fantastic town.
Go ahead.
I took B last spring break on a dad-daughter trip, and we stayed at the Angelino, which is the circular hotel off the 405.
Okay.
From which someone is thrown in Lethal Weapon, and on the balcony of which Jenny of Forrest Gump almost jumps.
Same hotel.
Exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So we stayed there and we did the whole Sunset Hollywood. I bought her an electric blue wig. We went to Santa Monica. We had a good old time.
Great.
We went to the Getty too, just to get a little bit of culture in there.
So much more culture. George and I just did food culture. So it's fantastic. We like got the eater list of tacos. We had a whole like amazing tacos. We went to the Koreatown and had we went into a weird strip mall where there's like everything super dark, and then you go inside and it's just like wood everywhere and Korean gangsters, really expensive, unbelievably good Korean barbecue. We went and got sushi in Malibu at Nobu on the beach, which I couldn't have been so proud of myself for. So badass. Basically, I got the reservations like 2.5 months beforehand, and there's like all these Hollywood deal makers around, and it's me and Georgia there. So fun.
They're all trying to figure out what child star she is. Like, wasn't she?
So good.
And I've been there a number of times. My brother-in-law Eugene invited us out for the premiere of Bob's Burgers.
Yeah.
My best friend Jay has been a cop there since 97. He started his police work in South Central, and I was teaching in Vegas, so I'd go back and forth visiting him. I remember he took me around some of the sites in South Central, which is off the beaten path as far as most tourists.
Yeah.
And he pulls up to a motorcycle garage in what seemed like a rough part of town. And he pulls up and he stops, and these guys stand up and start walking toward the car. And these are big dudes. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, these are my boys. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, this is the Bloods. This is their headquarters. I'm like, well, go the truck. I do not want to meet any Bloods today. But he is a specialist in LA gangs. So he wanted me to see where the different gangs spend their time.
Jay might be the funniest human being I've ever met, too. Jay at Tim's wedding cracked at least 700 jokes that were as funny as anything I ever heard another human being say. Like, I thought I was going to pass out the night before at Tim's wedding. I was laughing so hard.
He's pretty outrageously funny. When we visited him, and Patrick was only 8 years old, and we're watching the World Cup at his home. And and Patrick's like, you know, that's the French playing Saudi Arabia. And Patrick's like, what do you call a person from Saudi Arabia? And Jay's like, a terrorist. And I was like, no. And he's like, oh, I'm just kidding. And Patrick's face was like, oh my God. I'm like, Patrick, sometimes Jay's humor is what we call. That was a joke. Oh, man. My son still remembers it, though.
I'm sure he does.
Hey, let's talk about the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which I am sure we have all been to. Tell me, how many stars are on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
That would be too many, is the correct answer to that question.
That's good. I'm going to need an actual number, and that way Ben can go higher or lower.
I'm going 1,500.
Oh, it's higher than that.
Higher than that?
Yeah.
It is 2,754.
No way! I was going to get 2,700. I really was.
Are you really?
So good.
I totally believe him. If you believe me that I was going to say James K. Polk, I will give you 2,700.
All right.
Here's how I knew it's way more than 1500 is because of the people who were on it, for sure.
Oh my God, it is hilarious.
When
Have you
walk
ever batted,
see...
like, batted 400 on a city block, like 4 out of 10, like people you've heard of? It's so many nobodies.
It's
amazing. It's
a lot.
And the whole thing is so seedy. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Great.
That's where we bought B's wig. We went into a wig shop in the middle of the seediest part of the Walk of Fame. I wanted to see. I wanted her to have like the full, like, you know, like a 700-year-old woman with like a wig and a cigarette that's just like all ash.
Yeah.
Was like wigs in the back. I mean, it was just perfect. Perfect.
So there are 5 categories for the stars on Hollywood's Walk of Fame. Film, TV, music, radio, and live theater. I want you to tell me what percentage of the stars are dedicated to musical artists or bands. Jeff, you went first last time, so Ben, you have to go first this time.
I don't get to do theater. I really want to do theater.
Go ahead. Let me hear your theater guess.
I'm going to put theater at 4.5%.
I'm going to go 5% because it's still 4% too many.
It's 2%. 2%.
I killed that. All right. Very nice.
You're doing well. All right. Either of you, do you want to guess on music?
I think it's probably like 11%. Not very high.
I'm going to go a little higher than 11.
All right, it is 17%.
Man, I'm just getting smoked this week.
Yeah. Musical artists on Hollywood's Walk of Fame. Oof, that's 47%.
Hold on, let's do the percentage for radio.
Radio is going to be too high. Radio is going to be like 15% because they overdid it
back in
the
day.
I
still think it's lower than that, but yeah.
I think you're right, Jeff, at the beginning, but I think since then they've piled on with movies. So radio's at 10%. TV's only 24%.
Wow, I would have gone higher on that for sure.
Yeah, me too. It's film that's the big dog at 47%. All right, moving along, Jeff Simon.
By the way, we should actually try and list the radio people.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to start
Danny,
with Tracy Kasem.
Okay.
Jack Benny, for sure.
Wolfman Jack.
Chick Hearn.
Who was Fred Allen? Fred Allen is definitely on there.
What was the name of the guy who stole from Chuck Berry? The guy from Freed?
Freed.
Yeah.
Alan Freed.
Yeah, he'll be
He's on there for sure.
Well,
that's pretty good.
We'll have to make a trip. Hey, greatest national anthem you've ever heard, Jeff Simons.
Greatest national anthem?
I think he means version of the Star Spangled Banner, not.
Yeah,
like,
sorry. What you mean? Sorry. Oh, yes.
He's not asking for you to choose O Canada.
I was going to say O Canada. I really like O Canada. I always.
It is. It's a good one. Sorry.
Oh, it's Marvin Gaye at the All Star Game at the Forum in 1983.
In 1983, I re-listened to that today, listeners. If you haven't listened to it, oh man, Marvin Gaye makes our national anthem his own. It's remarkable.
It's so good that it's on the box set, The Best of Marvin Gaye. That's how good his version of the Star Spangled Banner is.
That's really remarkable.
Although I also really like Hendrix at Woodstock. I'm a sucker for that. It's good.
That is pretty great. Oh, let's go to the torture basement for a little Los Angeles fun. This is going to be great. You guys are going to love this. LA compilation. You only have to number your papers 1 through 10. In fact, gentlemen, you could just do this off the top of your head. 1 through 10.
I got a bad feeling about this, Tim.
Yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
It's fun.
Los Angeles. All right, here we go. You ready?
Let's do it.
LA. Los Angeles.
This is LA.
All right. That was great. Let's go ahead and take our first commercial break. All right. So those are some short clips you got there.
By the way, I'm gonna smoke you on this. You think you're being funny, but I actually got about 6 of those, I think. All right.
I'm sorry. I should have told you. You need to get 10 out of 10 on this. because this, gentlemen, is the JV version of the torture basement. Later on, all right, we're going to the real torture basement.
All right, I don't have the first one, but I have like
Ben's got the first.
Go backwards. Just start again. And, like, don't
start it again.
Get this, Timmy, but play the first one just for a second. Oh yeah! Stop! That is,
you know it.
Miley Cyrus.
Excellent.
That's, I love that song.
Party in the-
okay.
Yeah.
The next one is. Then we got. We go Doors, Sir Mix-a-Lot. And then what's that one? Number four.
Go back and play it again, couldn't you? Penny's the limb. What's he even saying?
I know. I think he's saying in East LA.
Yes, he is.
Oh, is that Cheech Marin?
It's a jog. Totally, that's Born in East LA is a great joke. That's so good.
Oh, so it's so great.
Excellent. Right,
and I think I got the next two.
That's okay. Wang Chung.
Nice, Wang Chung, man.
And the one before it is Dawes.
Yes, it is.
All right.
And here, by the way, that Wang Chung song is great. To Live
it's
and
great.
Die.
I know.
I love, I agree, that one. Yeah, great movie, really great song. I was hoping for it, Timmy.
All right, here we go. I have no idea what that is, damn it.
Ben Barton's going to get that because I know this artist was on his mixtape for the ladies when he was in college.
Damn it.
No idea.
Me neither. We're going to get nine.
All right, what's next?
Let's see. That's Tupac. Los Angeles. That's the Decemberists. And that's Sheryl Crow.
Excellent. Yeah, I had Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, you guys did well. 9 out of 10. I'm go back to it one more time.
That's it. No idea what that is.
Oh, that is Come a Long Way by Michelle Shocked.
Oh my god, I never would have gotten that.
No,
never would have gotten that.
Where she travels all through LA. She goes like to the canyon and La Brea Tar Pit. She goes all
first
over.
Of all, that's a 19-second torture basement, and we went 9 for 10. I want some cred for that. That was pretty good.
And that was JV. Nice job, gentlemen. Nice job.
Okay. So this other thing you sent me is the actual LA comp?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. All right, here we go.
Because here's the thing. There are hundreds upon hundreds of songs that mention LA or that mention Los Angeles. And then if you get into like Hollywood, I mean, it's the most songs I've come across for this particular compilation. And so there are some super obvious ones, which we went to just then. But then there are some super torturous ones that are coming up in the varsity portion of the program.
All right. How many?
Well, don't worry. We're not doing it yet.
Oh.
Yeah. We're moving on.
Okay.
We're moving on. We'll get back to the compilations in just a second. I have a which was more impactful question on the history of music. Ready? August 23rd, 1964, the Beatles play the Hollywood Bowl. Or 1966, a young Al Yankovic has his first accordion lesson.
It depends on who you ask, for sure. My son would probably vote for the latter. He is a Al Yankovic fanatic.
Do you know anything about that?
Shea Stadium over the Hollywood Bowl, by the way.
Totally. Actually, Ed Sullivan over both of them, and like being on TV for the first time.
Can you hear what's going on at the Hollywood Bowl? Like,
it's amazing, and the screaming, like, that's a professionally close mic'd recorded performance, and that's how loud the screaming is over it. Like, that's the best they can do to strip the singing off of it. Those guys sang completely blind into the air and sound that good.
They couldn't hear a thing.
I was like, imagine trying to play a concert with a jet engine in front of you, basically.
That's outstanding. That's in 64. When did they go on Ed Sullivan? Is that 64? That same year,
but they went before that. That was the like victory lap after already conquering America. They go on Ed Sullivan in the beginning of 64, and then they Beatlemania explodes. But by the time they get to the Hollywood Bowl, they've got 6 songs in the top 10.
All right. I've got 2 other moments, and I want you to tell me which one you think was more impactful.
And don't tell us what they are. Give us the date, and we'll tell you what it is.
Oh, I don't have a date, but I have a location for both, and maybe you could guess the location. A Malibu beach house or Venice Beach itself on the beach. Do you know either of those things?
Musical events? Venice Beach is where the Doors all meet for the first time.
Excellent. Jim Morrison writing some poetry. Bumps into what's his name? Ray.
Ray Manzarek.
Yeah. Keyboardist extraordinaire.
And producer.
And he says, I've got some poetry that I've written. And then
Moonlight Drive, in fact.
The rest is history.
Yeah. The rest is
Unless LA Woman is in the varsity, you didn't give us LA Woman for the JV.
It was number two. It was number two. That was the Doors song we got in that super short clip.
Oh, but it wasn't LA Woman. What was it?
It was LA Woman.
Oh, it was? All right.
Yeah.
It just sounded like this.
I actually like LA Woman. On the list, I like that one.
I like that song a lot.
So tell me, how many Doors songs will you listen to? Like, oh, you know what? I like that song. How many?
So hold on. My number one is Peace Frog. Jess can agree with me.
Excellent. Peace Frog. Blood on the Streets in the Town of New Haven.
That's the best one.
It's because it was a great band at Haverford that played the home records played the hell out of Peace Frog. That's why I really like that one.
No, that's not the home records. That was Sea of Fuzz. We played
was
that.
Was it you guys with the Peace Frog? Yes, you guys played the Peace Frog.
How dare you? The home records played 60s R&B songs only. They did not play Peace Frog. We played Peace Frog.
I didn't
Frog.
Realize that was you guys. That you guys played that great. That was really fun.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Soundtrack did an amazing version of LA Woman.
Without the organ, that's why I thought it wasn't you guys because you didn't.
No. Colin McAvoy did the organ while he howled.
Did he really got my?
Yeah,
brain
totally. And then believe me,
my dull brain is rocked with things forgotten.
As previously described, I had the loudest amp, so you could not hear the keyboard part. It was just, I mean, it's just a straight metal song by the time I was done.
Do you know that loud amp is still in my basement?
I do know that.
Oh. Jeff, have you ever seen Ben Barton this upset? Like that? He just snapped.
Yes, I've seen
him. Sea of Fuzz was slighted. He sat up in his bed.
The best thing Sea of Fuzz played, we've talked about this. The Sea of Fuzz version of Rio is one of the all time greatest things I've ever witnessed.
And they got Peace Frog, too.
Peace Frog was a high second in the Sea of Fuzz canon. They played the hell out of that.
All right. What other Doors song, Ben? LA Woman? Except when it gets into its weird part.
Oh, I like the weird part.
Dude, even Peace Frog's got the fragile eggshell mind. you need that with the Doors. There's no part where they're going to let you be. What's the 5-1, baby? 1-5.
5-1. Yeah, no one here gets that alive.
And least favorite Doors song ever?
Oh, so many. It's really hard to choose.
I like Roadhouse Blues. There's nothing wrong with that song.
Yeah, that song's fine.
All right. Well, the Malibu Beach House was where Don Felder first crafted Hotel California.
Oh, Jesus, yes. I'll pick anything other than that.
Well, we're going to have to listen to it because they are the favorite sons. If you look at largest grossing artists of all time, the Eagles are the first one that originate in LA. A lot of people end up in LA, but the Eagles apparently formed there. What was it? Glenn Frey and Don Henley met, and they were first in Linda Ronstadt's backing band.
The Stone Ponies.
The Stone Ponies. And then they go on to become the See, even that ticks me off because the Stone Ponies are kind of a cool name. Why go from something cool to the Eagles?
They weren't the Eagles. They were Eagles. Okay, let's be clear. No the.
Is that true? The.
Yes.
It's that's so much true. Worse. Eagles. No,
they are Eagles.
That's outstanding.
On every album cover and in Spotify, if you look them up, it just says Eagles.
Well, if you would play for us, and you can pick any part, it doesn't have to start at the beginning. Hotel California is their most popular song on Spotify.
All right, I will just hit random. We are at 3 minutes and 33 seconds. Here we go.
How long is the song?
100,000 hours. Device,
and in the master's chambers.
Ooh, drum solo.
Gathered for the feast.
That's what they do.
They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast.
Yeah.
And if you leave it on, I can sing almost the entire solo.
I've memorized
that freaking song, and I cannot burn it out of my brain under any circumstances whatsoever.
You can't avoid it.
Yeah.
It's the American Stairway to Heaven. No question about it.
Yeah. But I mean, and I know it better than Stairway to Heaven, even though I like Stairway to Heaven better. But there's something, that song is just completely burned on my brain. It's amazing.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So you go on there. Their Wikipedia page to do a little fun Eagles research. And you just, you discover that Vince Gill is now a member of Eagles.
Dude, I saw the Eagles right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I can report that Vince Gill is a member.
How, when, what, how?
Not only can I report that Vince Gill is a member, let me give you some bad news about Vince Gill.
Oh,
he's
no.
The oldest, fattest member of the Eagles. He came out. I was like, which fucking member of the Eagles is that? That guy's awful looking. That looks like late period Bilbo Baggins. Like, that's not a good look, this guy. Then I went through the people that I knew that were still in the band, and I was like, could it be? And then it turned out, there it is, Vince Gill.
Wow. Just,
by the way, yeah. I have rock star intel that Vince Gill is a lovely dude.
Oh, good.
The nicest guy you would ever want to meet. With making him really inappropriate to join the Eagles, which is full of the most cantankerous sons of bitches ever to be in a band. So,
Oh no, I think he likes that green money. I don't think he minds at all. And I think it's like, you know, they're happy to have a guy who's a friendly person to hang around with. It's all working. And dude, now that Fry is dead, you know, it's Henley's band and he gets to do anything that he wants.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're not called the Henleys, to be honest.
No, dude, he's actually pretty generous. I mean, they do all of the
Timothy B. Schmidt songs.
All the Joe Walsh songs, and they do two solo Joe Walsh songs. They do the gang.
All right.
I'm not sure that's generous. I'm not sure drafting off of other people's work and putting it in his own pocket is generous. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that Don Henley and generosity exist in the same
I have been told that they are not going to play anymore until hell freezes over. So we're good. That is all we have time for. Part one of LA is done. We're going to be back for part two of LA and the real torture basement where these gentlemen, you've got 15 songs. I'm going to give you a thumbs up if you get 8.
Oh, wow. All right. I'm playing out the end of part one with my favorite Eagles song. You ready?
All right, let's do it.
All right.
Are you passionate about saving the planet for future generations? Do you want to learn how to do it? If yes, then you need to tune in to the Nature Backed podcast. It's a talk show covering the changing world around us, from renewable energy, sustainable agriculture, circular economy, to ESG and social innovation. Don't miss this opportunity to discover how you can join the movement and make a difference. Subscribe to the Nature Backed podcast today on your favorite platform and get ready to be amazed.
Are you a fan of classic cinema or a young person who wants to discover the best films of all time? Do these legendary movies still hold up?
On the Generation Film Podcast, two guys who grew up when movies dominated the culture share a great film with a panel of young movie lovers and see how it plays for today's generation.
We discuss changes in storytelling, styles, representation,
the making of each film, its initial reception, and how its meaning has changed over the years.
Join us as we explore cinema classics across generations on Generation Film.
Electric acid. Electric acid.